Hey, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop, and we are at
Feel North.
This is a great lounge they have here. We've been talking to people here, and we've been having a great time. It's the last VO North, but it's like a lot of other voiceover conventions, but this one was really special, and we met some really cool people, didn't we?
It's more intimate. You know, it's a much smaller scale and a different crowd. It's Canadians a lot, anyway, and so it's got the Canadian vibe, but you still get all the same great knowledge.
Right, and we're, like, looking at, like, Massey Hall and all these cool places here in Toronto, and we're going to talk to a bunch of different people, so join us right now, VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, the home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Source Elements, the folks who bring you Source Connect, JMC Demos, when quality matters. VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training. VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your voice actor website shouldn't be a pain in the butt. VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for voiceover success. And by World Voices, the industry association of freelance voice talent. And now, here's your hosts, Dan and George.
Well, we're here at VoiceOver North. We're having a great time talking to all sorts of people in this beautiful lounge that's here, the VIP lounge. We're VIPs.
Ooh,
yeah. You know, it's like we actually have, like, VIP badges and stuff. But we've got talking to some great people, Ellie Rae Hennessy and Brad Newman and Kim Handysides and her daughter Lisa and some other
Was it Jay Cox?
Yes. And
Jack Cox. Sorry, Jack.
Yes, he's a writer, producer,
director.
Directing, casting director, all sorts of cool stuff. Great interviews, some really cool insight. So stay tuned as we'll get into these. And let's start off with our first interview. All right, we're talking with Derv LaTrainer, who is the founder and the head honcho here at VO North. And thank you, for having the conference.
Thank you for coming.
Our pleasure.
It's been great having you here.
What are the origins of VO North? How did you come up with the idea of doing this?
Well, I have an event production background, and I went to this meetup in Toronto, and it was just at a bar, completely unorganized, just meet here and we'll chat one evening. And
was that VO and TO, or?
Yeah, it was.
Over at the Frog and Peach, or whatever the name of place was, on Yonge Street?
So long ago. Yeah, like the Frog and something, or whatever, something and something. And there were people, someone drove up from Buffalo, someone came from Oshawa, which is about 45 minutes east of here. People drove in from everywhere just to sit and talk to other voice talent. And I had conversations that were so valuable. I thought, well, people are clearly craving something like this. I know how to put on an event. So then one thing led to another, and then Tanya helped me with curating because she's an agent and she has connections to, you know, a lot of very credible people, and it spiraled from there, and here we are.
And how many years have you been doing this?
This is the fourth.
Then this is going to be the final time you're doing that.
Yes, I know. I'm sad to see it go, but it's time.
Well, it's something that's going to it takes over your life for the time that you're doing it.
Yeah, it's been my full-time job for the past month and a half. No voiceover. Well, like a little job here and there, but it's quite time-consuming, but it's a labor of love.
That's great. What was your philosophy behind this type of conference? Because it's a little bit different from some of the others.
Yeah, the few big things are bringing the community together, meeting other people, learning from credible speakers who are not trying to sell you something. We really try to get speakers who don't normally do conferences, but they're working in the voiceover industry day in, day out. So we just want to bring as much value as we can, bring the community together and just learn every aspect of your voiceover business.
Now, Toronto's a unique market. I mean, I've lived near here, so I was up here, and I got to go to some of the VO and TO things, and those were a lot of fun. But the market has really changed because Toronto was really a production hub. So there's a lot of studios and that sort of thing, and I found that people in Toronto were slow to transist to the home studio model. Did you find that too?
Well, the pandemic really helped. Well,
it did in LA too.
Yes, I had a home studio, which actually gave me a leg up before the pandemic, because I had like a whisper room booth and I had a full, MKH 416 mic, and I was set up at home, which gave me a leg up. For online casting and stuff, but there was still a lot of in-studio sessions and auditions and everything, but the pandemic really kicked it into home studio gear, I guess. So I think nowadays there's a lot less in person.
Well, George and I were always saying that, for 10 years we were busy telling people, you really need a home studio, you really should do this. And of course, when the pandemic hit, we were very, very busy. And I'm sure that the same thing happened here with people like, how do I do a home studio and stuff?
Yeah. Your business must have skyrocketed.
Oh, it did. It was, as we like to say, we were busier than a one-legged guy in an ass-kicking contest. So it was...
Yeah. It was same here. I had a lot of people contact... I mean, my skills are nowhere near yours, but people just saying, help, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, well, this is what I did? I don't know. But then I just put them in touch with other people. But yeah, definitely a lot of people trying to figure it out.
Well, there's a lot of engineers here in Toronto because there are a lot of post-production houses and the network productions and stuff like that. And there's also a great theater and movie community here, right?
Yeah. It's kind of like New York, right? You've got your Broadway. We've got our... I don't even know what you call it, but there's just a lot of different theaters.
We're
literally looking at the legendary Massey Hall, which is why I love this venue. Yeah. Lots of windows, and you're looking directly at one of our legendary halls.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Pantages is right over there, and which everybody saw Phantom of the Opera at. If you lived in Buffalo, it was like, you must come see the Phantom of the Opera at the Gloria. And then they discover the Winter Garden Theater in this building over here.
Beautiful theater, yeah. And then there's more just east of here, or west of here as well. So, yeah, lots of theater, lots of production. Toronto and Vancouver as well, but Toronto is definitely the hub in Canada for voiceover and acting and all that jazz.
So what are your plans now that you're not going to be doing this?
For plans for VO North or me?
For you.
Well, still voiceover, but I'm shifting into a bit of television production as well. Yeah, it's amazing. It's shocking how similar event production is to television production. So I'm just easing right into it. It's fun, but I'll definitely always do voiceover as well.
Great. Well, Dervla, thank you so much for putting on VO North and for having us, and we've been having a great time.
Great. Thank you so much for coming. Honestly, we love having you here.
Well, we're back here at VO North, and one of my favorite things about Toronto and coming to Toronto is Ellie Rae Hennessy. Marvelous coach, and just a delight to have around and to work with. Welcome to VO North, and thanks for coming.
Dan, everything is awesome when you're part of the team. Come on, this is a phenomenal experience, as always, just to get to chat to you and get to chat to all brilliant members of this community. And audiences, you are the reason that we storytell it all. So for everybody out there, thank you for your commitment to raising the bar in storytelling. And thank you for, interviewing those of us who are constantly trying to change the vibration of the planet through storytelling. Because, I just think that communication, it is the human connection. This is a real plant, FYI. just like you and me, I'm a plant. Don't tell anybody. Dun, 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 dun. So we're here breaking the code, and we're telling lies, and we're loving each other hard, and making the magic happen, which it's all about. Because I feel like in real person, things change, and we haven't had that opportunity for a while. So it's really, really exciting to see what's happening when you actually have a human being.
Yes, we missed the human contact.
Reach out and touch somebody's hand, make this world a better place if you can. There's fun happening, and there's fun happening everywhere, even at your home studios, alone. I know it feels like you're alone. You're not. We're all one energy, gang. We are the ones that create the magic, alchemical magic. That's what the storyteller is. That's what you are. That's what is happening right now. And hopefully we can share a little bit of that with one another.
Now, what were you teaching here? We were sort of watching the end of your class yesterday. It was going on in a number of directions. But
well, I teach how to exist in the void. How to color outside the lines, how to find the place where extraordinary happens, and it isn't in institutionalized training or classes. Yes, and I do teach classes, but I don't believe that methodologies are taught to individuals. I believe that they are discovered when you let go of control, when you actually reach outside of yourself and allow the magic in. So there's a kind of a turning yourself inside out and going back to a profound truth that we all understand how to play. We just don't do it because we're thinking so hard in the maturity. You know, our arrogance is that we're good at reading. That's not what this business is at all about. Magic exists in the I don't know. So the I don't know place is what makes it titillates, fascinates, and creates awe in the viewer. And try to find that place. It ain't easy. It ain't easy to go there. So yesterday,
getting outside of your comfort zone, in other words,
whatever that means to you, because you are characters in every genre: commercial narration, promo, telephony, medical narration. Animation, anime, dubbing, mocap, you're always a character. You are an entity that is trying to inspire your audiences. How do you step outside of your intellect, which is what we keep trying to use as good readers? If I wanted a reader, I'd go to the library. You know, acting with our voice is, it's a beast unto itself that is like beyond time and space. It has no form. It is this wild, amorphic allowing, if you will, of spontaneity. And what does spontaneity mean? And how do you teach every single entity to be their own version of spontaneous? It's like, well, that's like saying, I'm going to teach this class and you're all going to be better actors. Well, it doesn't work that way. My whole thing is, if I was running a convention, there would be no classes. You would go and walk around the outside of the CN Tower at 500,000 meters up in the clouds, cabled off, and scare the bejeez out of yourself wearing your diaper and poop your pants and go, oh my God, I did this thing. Because what I don't think we recognize is that we are
miraculous. It feels like that sometimes,
well,
anyway.
Yeah, you know, we're miraculous.
Yeah.
With all of it, with all of our marginalizations of self. Well, I'm old. Well, I've got a qualified instrument. Well, I'm physically something. Well, I'm this, I'm that. And, you know, we're horrible about being set. You're perfect. You're perfect just the way you are. I want you. I don't want anybody but you. I don't care. But we don't allow that, and we have no self-worth, and we don't risk anything to show ourselves what we're capable of. So you see where the deadening happens? It's kind of like, what is happening? How do you teach people to play? Just say, okay, tug of war. Then go. What? And okay, talk back and forth to the other team. Go. And then you say, I've got a water pistol. I'm squirting you in the faces. You have coffee. Can't see. Blah, blah, blah. I have to set up a restriction just like a game. You can't know what's happening. You cannot know. Cannonball into the pool right now. Go. You don't learn it in the studio. You learn it in life. Go do something that scares you, makes you go, oh my God, okay, that was really wild and hard, but I did it. I don't care if you do it well. I jumped out of an airplane. I peed my pants. I was like, they took a picture. It was on the wing of the plane. I was by myself. They wanted me to buy the picture. I wanted it burned. It was like, I looked like, I don't know what was happening, but it was very, very crazy. And I did this thing, and I constantly, when I'm feeling asleep, go, I got to do something that has nothing to do with voice so that I, as a human being, celebrate all the things that I can do. I go, can you slalom ski? Yes, absolutely. I didn't say well. I said, can you do it? I don't give a shit how you slalom ski, how you flamenco dance, how you hula hoop. Are you a circus performer? If you try it, you can say, I do it.
Right. So in other words, if you can do something that is seemingly hard to do and impossible, and you try it and you do it, what else in your life do you think you could accomplish?
Bingo, Dan. Like, we can all do everything. People go, well, I have no arms. I can't draw. Well, have you met the mouth drawers and the feet drawers? Like, everything is possible, but we're so locked into an institutionalized idea of how to do it that we forget, oh, you mean it's not just reading words and talking? No, it's actually not. It's a whole canvas of extraordinary ingredients when we concoct the magic. It's not just the words. It's not just the script that creates the magic. There's incredible feats that this entire entity, and we're all uniquely different, and yet we feel like we have to do it the same as the next guy. You don't.
Well, Ellie Ray, it is always a thrill to hang out with you. It's been a long time, and clearly we haven't talked to each other in a while. We had you on the show a few months ago.
It was a year ago. Well, it was months, like a few months in this timeline is like it was, you know, 500 centuries ago. But
right.
I just want to thank you both. I just think you guys are so phenomenal, what you do, George and Dan, and what you bring to the entire team, to everybody out there by doing these kinds of interviews. It's phenomenal, gang. This is where the magic happens, where we get to communicate with one another, not in the auditions, not in any places. And I just wanted to thank you also for donating to the gift package for the Ultimate VO Survivor that Get Mic'd is doing another. We're in season 3. And you have generously donated to gift the winner. We have thousands and thousands of dollars worth of prizes that help those in an industry that, for the most part, can't afford mentally, physically, spiritually, intellectually, how to get themselves going in this industry. So thank you being a part of our prize package. And get out there and audition for that, guys, because, I mean, we've got trips to Hawaii, we've got memberships, we've got equipment, we've got studios, we've got everything. And these guys, of course, as well, have so generously gifted us, and I'm forever grateful for that.
Thank you. Thank you, Emily Ray.
Hey, George the Tech here for VOBS at VO North 2022. And I got to sit down here with Mr. Jack Cox, who isn't an actor. He isn't a casting person. He's coming at it from the directing side. Tell us about how you work, who you work with, and where.
I work out of Vancouver in children's television, animation. I'm a voice director and a writer, mostly for, you know, boys' action stuff, a lot of aliens and robots, and a lot of kids fighting things and explosions and burps and farts and stuff like that. And that's what I do for a living, yeah.
What did you do to lead up to that? Where did you start your journey in directing?
I started as a script editor, doing dialogue polishes, just punching up jokes and characterization. And then I was just right place, right time, and I got to move into directing because someone else had a bigger project to do. So I just filled in and have been doing it ever since.
We call it right place, right time, or luck favors the prepared.
Luck favors the prepared, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you got to keep an open mind. If you get too focused on your goal, then you kind of miss all the other paths to getting it sometimes. So
there's two edges to that, having a goal, but being able to go with flow and be adaptable. Adaptable is in my path, but tell us also, like, are you doing a lot of this work throughout the pandemic? Did it go to 100% remote, and how much of it is still happening remotely?
During the pandemic, a good chunk of it was remote. I directed from home, which at the time was a farm, so that was a nightmare. It was terrible.
The smell, the sound, or the internet?
There was a rooster that never stopped, like, the entire recording, and there was a bear that kept coming up to the front door. It was absolutely nuts. There was one time I was, shooting off bear spray and then running back into a session. So that was my pandemic. So that was pretty rough. Thankfully, I'm back in the studio now. All the actors are back in the studio, so we're all together once again, and... But for a while there, it was pretty remote.
We would call that, the technical term for that is a shit show.
Yeah, shit show times two. Yeah.
Or FUBAR.
FUBAR. Yeah, I was shaking. I've never had a bear in session.
So were you on a couple panels during VO North? And what did you guys talk about?
We talked about anime or dubbing series, like long-term animation series that are such a backbone to voiceover in Vancouver. For keeping work.
It's the bread and butter.
Bread and butter, yeah. That sort of consistency gives you freedom to do other stuff, or I'll just know that your rent's being made. So we talked about that, and also sat in with some really cool Toronto people here that I'd never met before, like Susan and Kim and Roseanne, and got to talk about casting with them, and that was really cool. It's been really great to be here.
Well, I was lucky enough to sit in on the animation and video game and listen to those reads. A lot of talent was here, for sure. Anybody like stand out and you're like, I'm going to keep an eye?
Yeah, there were a couple, actually, that I think I would keep an eye on. I think, yeah.
No, you don't name any names. I'm just saying.
I'm not going to name any names. No. But just anyone who had the keenness and the enthusiasm to just get up in front of like four directors on a stage, not just one casting director, but four directors on a stage
in front of their peers.
That takes some like guts. I don't think I'd do it. So that was pretty cool.
Well, it was cool. It was neat to be there and witness it and listen in. And it's been a pleasure meeting you. Thanks for sitting down with us.
All right. And we're here with our good friend, Brad Newman, who, what were you discussing? What was your topic here at VO North?
So it's coming up at 2:30, and it's talking about websites, and one of the biggest questions that people typically have is actually about their email and how they can keep it out of people's spam folders, which sounds really simple, but it's rather complicated.
Why is it so complicated?
There's so many people that send so many spam, and the algorithms that use from companies like Google to detect that, they keep very secret. They're constantly changing all of those things, but that makes it complicated. However, your mail can use three things that can be set up properly, and that usually fixes the problem.
But nobody knows about these things except Brad Newman and various other webmasters.
That's right, and most hosts don't set it up for you. But if you think about, you have keys to get in your house, there are keys to authenticate your mail. And the keys are very simple. They sound confusing, but they're an SPF, a DMARC, and a DKIM. We seem to love abbreviations, and that makes things confusing. But there's simple tests you can run to find out which one's missing. And then you can just tell your host, this is missing, I need it fixed. And then they'll fix it. So it can be as easy as just checking and making a phone call. And then parroting a little small abbreviation that you really don't even need to know what it actually stands for.
But you have to understand, because it's like, why is this going into spam? Or why, you know, I've sent this email several times and this person... You always wonder, why is it that my email didn't go through? I mean, we can talk to the moon, but we can't seem to get an email across town.
Because no one really just does their job a lot of times, and little things get missed. That's one of the little things, but it's very, very important to your business. It's probably your primary form of communication. And so you need to just check that. And if you don't know how to check that, call your host and just ask them, are those three things in place? Or call me. I'll fix it.
Why does companies like Google, who apparently run the world these days, why do they change these parameters all the time? I've noticed this, and our mutual friend Joe Davis is constantly fixing these things, and I'm sure you are too. You know, and they do it without notice. Why do they do that?
Because the spammers are constantly changing their methodology and what they do, and so you have to keep either ahead of that curve, or you have to keep chasing that curve and making a correction to try to keep what we're relying on, email, usable and functional. So it's kind of this cat and mouse game.
I mean, now Google is constantly changing things, and you know, and I find that, like, why am I suddenly using this platform as opposed to the other one, and why didn't they warn me? I mean, they may send you an email like 3 months, we're going to be doing this, and they expect you to remember that.
Google tends to take the idea and throw it against the wall to see if it sticks. And that constantly gets taken away or changed and modified. But ultimately, a lot of their changes are just like any company. They're derived to happen to grow or increase revenue. And sometimes that can impact the little guy.
Which is us. Let's shift to voiceover for a little bit. What sort of services are you offering for the voiceover community?
Biggest thing we're known for is upper-level hosting. So basically, you already have a website, or you should have a website, and your demos are on it. And you don't have to know or worry about any of those problems that we just talked about, even the ones with Google, because we will do the check, we will make sure it's done, and we will fix it for you, and that's it. You can focus on what you're doing, which is reading the script. So hosting's our biggest thing. It's upperlevelhosting.com.
Yeah, hosting is really important, as we know. It's
people. Where your demos are, it's where your brand is, it's how you're going to be sending your communications. It's, in my opinion, one of the most important aspects of your business beyond having the skill, the talent, the gear, and the demo, because you need those things to do the job, but you got to have that website and that email to market to get the jobs.
Let me throw you a curveball. Have you tried the new Wovo demo player?
I have checked it out, and so far I like what I see. I think they did a really solid job.
Well, they worked on it for like a year, so it should be working. And we're offering that at World Voices for members. All members can get that. So that's a really cool thing to have.
And you remind me that I need to make sure my membership is renewed or auto-renewed, because I honestly don't remember.
Well, I see your name on the list.
All right,
so
good.
You're probably still in there.
Then I like auto-renewals. It's a good thing.
Right. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, man. Thanks for all you do. Appreciate you guys.
Well, so far this has been great, but we're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop.
Before time began, there was VOBS.TV. Watch or else.
Inflated prices? Not at VoiceOverEssentials.com. Despite the nationwide inflation rate of over 8%, VoiceOver Essentials refuses to raise prices. In fact, they refuse to even say the I word. Their inventory is large on all their products, and they purchased them before the current economic conditions. It's simply wrong to increase profit, as many retailers are doing right now. So Harlan & Company promised not to raise their prices during difficult times for everyone. They'll stay the course, steady and sure, flat and firm, solid and steadfast. Okay, enough. You get the point. Unfortunately, they're under the same inflationary pressures as everyone else, and they'll need to restock in the not-so-distant future. No doubt, there'll be sticker shock for them and you. So, right now is the time to order that Portabooth Pro or VO1A voiceover microphone and their VO 2.0 headphones. Fight inflation at voiceoveressentials.com.
Hello, VOBS viewer, listener, aficionado, fanatic. I'm David H. Lawrence XVII. I'm the same as you. I love this show, and I'm glad you're watching. Last week, we opened and closed registration with 1 week. That's the only week it's open for the VO Heroes Pro training curriculum. If you want to build a spectacular, successful, and practical, and satisfying voiceover career, I'm here to help you with that. And one of the big questions we got was, that's a pretty hefty price tag. Do you have a payment plan? And I'm happy to tell you that I created one. For those of you who looked at the price of the incredible value that you were getting, but the price was a little outside your budget, how do we do this? So we have an option of a 3 or a 4 month plan. All you have to do is go to voheroes.com/go. That's voheroes.com/go. And you'll get all the details. If you want to jump in, but you didn't have all the money all at once, we can give you a payment plan. Check it out at voheroes.com/go. And I'll see you inside the program.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
This is Virgin Radio.
Well, okay, we're not that innocent.
There's jeans for wearing and there's jeans for working. Dickies, because I ain't here to look pretty.
She's a champion of progressive values, a leader for California, and a voice for America.
It's smart. It's a phone. It's a smartphone. But it's so much more. The files are ready. Don't forget to pick up the eggs. What time is hockey practice? Check out this song.
It's the end of the road for Rick.
It's just you and me, Rick.
When hope is lost.
The i8 from BMW. Who said saving the planet couldn't be stylish?
Hey, it's J. Michael Collins. Bet you think I'm going to try and sell you a demo now, huh? I think they speak for themselves. But I will give you my email. It's jmichael@jmcvoiceover.com. Now, if Dan will stop waxing his mustache for a minute, we'll get back to the show.
This is Ariana Ratner, and you're listening to VoiceOver Body Shop, VOBS.TV.
And we're back. And let's continue with these interviews. I mean, we didn't know what we were going to get, but they've been quite interesting. So
yeah, and we got to use a borrowed microphone. We're not going to tell you what it is yet, but you let us know how you thought it sounded. This isn't that mic. This is a different one. So let us know what you think. On with the interviews.
And now with a couple of great friends, people I've met for the first time and somebody I know very well, Kim Handysides and her daughter. It's Lisa Suliatanu.
Well done.
Thank you. I study my notes. You're here at VO North. What were some of the sessions that you were presenting, and what have you been talking about?
E-learning and explainers was yesterday, and that was amazing. It was talking about, you know, the trends in the industry, where to find the work, but also just, you know, hopefully some really good coaching tips to be able to help people access more of the work, because it's just like exploded.
And I mean, there's a lot out there, and of course there's the threat of AI, which was something that I had a panel on yesterday, which I found fascinating. Do you think that's going to be an issue in the future?
I think that it's probably going to take out the fivers. It's going to. I've had a lot of clients who've actually tried an AI and then have come to me and said it didn't work. Can you please do it for us as a human?
That's good to hear.
Yeah. I think what's going to be happening is that it's going to help us, them, realize the value of us, because we are the human connection in e-learning, right? There's so much animation or slides or whatever, and the one thing that actually sinks it into the person's brain is the human voice. So an AI can't do that.
Now, I've been preaching the same thing, you know, saying that a computer can't emulate the thousands of choices that a piece of copy is going to present to somebody, and they can create some patterns and stuff. Now Lisa, what are you doing with your mom here, and what's your background in voiceover, aside from your mom?
So I've had the privilege of starting my career very young. I've been doing voiceover since I was 7 years old, and I just fell in love from the moment that I was first brought into studio. And so I've built my career doing voiceover. I do a lot of corporate narration, any type of narration really, and commercials, some video games as well. And recently, over the past couple of years, been doing some coaching with 3 years. You're right. Time flies. just been doing some coaching with Kim, and we love the group coaching dynamic that we've been able to achieve with the voiceover study workshop that we've done, and we just want to keep building that. Yeah.
Have you found you enjoy coaching as much as voice acting, and why?
As much, it's different. Definitely as much, and I love to just share my passion and share my knowledge, and you get to meet so many talented people, and to be able to give them advice and watch their progression and their growth, and to be a part of that is like just incredibly fulfilling. Yeah,
we've had like a few people at VO North here who have gone through our class, our workshop, and Rachel, for example, Rachel Gilbert said, "I'm now full time thanks to you guys," and I was like, "Yay!" And another one, Hadi Hajar, who's now got an agent and he's booking national commercials, and he's doing really well too. So, yeah, it's very rewarding.
Now, what's the name of your coaching outfit?
It's the VoiceOver Study. Yes. And you can access it on my website, kimhandysidesvoiceover.com, or on Lisa
Suliatanu.com.
Yeah. And it's a six-week workshop over 12 hours over 6 weeks with a maximum of 12 people, and it's very intense. We look at commercials, e-learning, corporate narration explainers, all the adjustments for that, and documentaries and audiobooks too, and character work.
That just about everything that's in there. Now we've been observing you two all weekend. You're obviously a very tight mother-daughter pair, aren't you?
Yeah, we're close.
Definitely.
Yeah.
What's it like working with your daughter on this?
Oh my gosh, it's so much fun. She's extremely talented and very bright, and she brings what I love about working with you is that she brings fresh blood, fresh set of eyes. She's got her finger on the pulse of what's happening in the current world. I mean, I do too, but she's like kind of in it, you know. And I really love having that perspective to help me grow as a coach, but also to see what it does to the people who come to our class.
And what's it like working with your mom?
Incredible. I really like, she's such an amazing resource, such an amazing person, but then obviously also such an amazing resource. And I'm just, it's awesome to, you know, we go out for business lunches and we'll talk about, you know, we'll catch up on life and then we'll close that chapter and move on to the business chapter. And it's so nice to be able to do both. And yeah.
Well, good luck in the future. Thanks for joining us today and for the stuff that you've been offering here at VO North. And it's just great to see you both. And I can't wait till we see you again, hopefully in Orlando.
Ooh, that's, yes, sounds great. Love it.
All right, we're here back at VO North with our dear friend and
fellow wackadoodle engineer guy.
And comrade. And
friendly competition.
Yeah. Uncle Roy Yokelston and
Uncle Stein.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Is it Frodrick?
Something like that, yeah.
Frodrick Frankenstein, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Frankenstein.
Yeah. Mr. Frankenstone.
Yes, that's it.
That's it. Frankenstone. Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're running all of the audio production for a show like this, which you do for almost all the conferences now. What does it involve to do this kind of stuff? And does it involve sleep or eating or any of those things?
It involves lack of sleep, typically 4 hours, so that's about all I get. By the time I have to do my Facebook shtick, you know, like what day is today and all that stuff. But I know to the right is louder. That's important to know. We're doing very little, just even the microphones out. I mean, we got a bunch of wireless mics. The more wireless mics, the merrier, because then you don't have to tape down wires. However, wireless mics could drift, could be too far away from the receiver. Battery changes, which I think we're sort of low on batteries now. You need enough tech support help. Thank God George and Dan were here, because they kind of, like I set it up, it was all set to go. I said, George, just sit here for a minute, make sure things are even. Then he didn't want to leave.
I couldn't leave, because once I started riding the gain on the mic for the animation thing, and they were kind of all over the map, then I was married to it. I couldn't leave. I had to keep my hand on the fader.
Yeah, so we're just trying to keep it even. I mean, I guess if I had a compressor over the whole thing, or auto mix would have been okay. But auto mix puts us out of business, so then we don't have to sit there. So it's sort of the AI of audio mixing, you know.
How much gear did you bring with you? Did you?
I brought too much, because in the original plan with Long and McQuaid, they were going to give me four little tiny two-input mixers. And I said, well, I got a panel of four plus a moderator. That doesn't really, I could make it, so they upped me to, so to answer your real question, so I brought a Mackie 1402 and an old school Shure mixer. What is somebody, P what? I forget what model it was.
I forget too, but it looks classic.
You really brought one of those? Isn't it noisy? I said, well, it'll do the job. This isn't broadcast. It'll do the job. And P.S., I didn't use it anyway. So I brought way too much gear. They are using my 416 in the Source Elements booth, Bear Cave booth, and too much stuff. I brought too many pairs of headphones. Too much. We like to be overly prepared. Then when George comes to me and says, "Do you have a stereo mini?" To I said, "Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do." Yeah. Well, how about a quarter-inch cable? And I had.
He had it.
We. So you have to overpack. So you're because you can't. Where are we going to go? You know, it's too far to.
And there's no more Radio Shacks.
Damn it.
Although you did have something that still said Radio Shack on it, so
he has the same
purple cable.
Yeah,
yeah, I love it. We had those at the United Nations. Those purple. I don't know if I swiped those from the United Nations or if I actually bought some from Radio Shack.
You heard that first here.
Don't tell anybody. It's a secret. It's a UN secret from UN Radio.
What's really the difference between, you know, producing recorded audio for voiceover and doing live sound? What are some of the differences you have to think about?
You have to, for the live sound, you kind of have to really ride gain on the nuances to pick up. The women were pretty well, you know, they were speaking here. And then the men were, I don't know why, the men were like soft-spoken, and I, or vice versa, you know, the woman is speaking softly and the guy grabbed the mic and then he's, so... when they're sharing a mic, you have to be on your game and just ride gain a lot. And we don't care about noise floor. We don't care about compression, noise gates. You know, we don't care about any processing. This is live. It is what it is. So if it was streaming out live, it would be absolutely fine. And nobody cares if you can hear it. And most of these rooms are kind of small anyway. So you can hear them talking from the stage. One of the rooms we had to put fans in because the air conditioning was down. Okay, we needed to hear them over the sound of the fan. So,
and the mics now are much better than they were back in the day. They're more linear. The speakers are more linear. Feedback is less of an issue than it was before.
The acoustics in these crappy rooms. So I said to George, we got to make like a big tri booth and put it in these rooms, and we'll all huddle inside the wigwam. And, you know,
The yurt edition.
Yeah, there we go.
We'll have a yurt edition.
Okay. The yurt edition tribe.
Everybody has to sit on the floor with their legs crossed, though.
Oh, that's cool.
The fire in the middle.
No, I'm just kidding. But we should.
Yeah, this fire from over here, fire.
Yeah, exactly. We should do that. Yeah.
Right. And anybody else who's listening, if this airs before October 8th and 9th, come on over to my house for 2 days of nonstop live music and eating.
Non-stop
and
bagels. Is the word, yeah.
Nonstop live music and eating. Whenever it used to come over, he immediately said, "You got earplugs for me?" It's like you're too sensitive, you know.
What do your neighbors think about that? Where you just tell them, "Go away this weekend," or
I was walking around the block, and an older couple was selling some furniture, and they said, "Hey, are you going to have that party this year? We love that music." So, I mean, the neighbors, one of them's sort of an asshole, so we don't care what they think. And the other one, they say, "Oh, we're going to be out of town. Don't worry about it." No, they're fine. People come by from down the block. Like one neighbor, saw me eating a hot dog. I said, "You could say hello first, maybe, or would it be okay if I had some?" Like, he's not on the list. You're just my down the block neighbor. And you are.
He thought it was a block party. Yeah. He was crashing.
I asked the cops, "Do I need a permit for this?" They said, "Why? Is it a block party?" I said, "No, but 150 people are going to be there." They said, "Nah, you're good."
I love Jersey.
Yeah.
So that's the Uncle Roy annual VO barbecue.
That's right. VO BBQ 17th annual. So go on Facebook and search Uncle Roy's 17th annual. And while you're there, there's a link for you to click to buy a Antland Productions t-shirt. Just like this.
Mine's waiting at home.
Different five. You bought the long sleeve.
I think I got that one. That was the one I wanted to get.
Oh, okay, yeah, well, I didn't see who bought what, but somebody bought the long-sleeve fluorescent tie-dye. Ooh, that's a little different. So a tie-dye, purple tie-dye, black V-neck women, black V-neck men, regular black.
And that's a fundraiser as well?
It's a fundraiser for No Kid Hungry, and so no kid should be hungry, so why not?
And it's fun to wear one, like I had the tie-dye one, that I could take a picture of myself in front of the Arc de Triomphe and other places that I'm at. Hey, Uncle Roy, I'm here. You know, so.
My son has my logo tattooed on his arm. And I said, what the hell is that? Free advertising, Dad.
Okay, fine.
He's a little too tattoo-centric over there. Yeah.
Uncle Roy, always a pleasure to talk to you. Especially the three of us get together. It's a nutty time.
We have the best time.
We share industry secrets.
Yeah, that's right.
And like this microphone is a 416 wannabe knockoff. And probably like half the price. How much was this? How much? A four? Like $250?
Hide the name, though. Yeah, make sure.
Yeah, the name is a little embarrassing, but especially if it has a 2020 behind it. Then it's really bad. For $250 or $300 versus $1,000.
It's clearly wanting to be a 416. It feels like one. It's made of brass. They couldn't use the same design on the sides because that's probably patented. Yeah. You would get sued.
I like the extra low end. Then I don't have to add it. You think it's a little too much?
Seems like it has that smiley face.
Oh, hi-fi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The disco smile.
Yeah, just bass treble, that sort of thing.
Yeah. But it sounds clean. It's clean.
It used to be a loudness button, right? Loudness would make the bass and treble crank up. Yeah.
Right. Hey, man. Always a pleasure.
Yes, sir.
We'll see you soon.
Yes, sir.
Always fun.
All right. Bye, VOBS.
Well, this has been very entertaining and very enlightening. And, you know, we want to thank everybody here. But first, in order to wrap things up, we got to finish with our second break, so we'll be right back.
This is the Latin lover narrator from Jane the Virgin, Anthony Mendez, and you're enjoying Dan and George on The VoiceOver Body Shop.
Your dynamic voiceover career requires extra resources to keep moving ahead. There's one place where you can explore everything the voiceover industry has to offer. That place is voiceoverextra.com. Whether you're just exploring a voiceover career or a seasoned veteran ready to reach that next professional level, stay in touch with market trends, coaching, products, and services while avoiding scams and other pitfalls. VoiceOver Extra has hundreds of articles, free resources, and training that will save you time and help you succeed. Learn from the most respected talents, coaches, and industry insiders when you join the online sessions, bringing you the most current information on topics like audiobooks, auditioning, home studio setup and equipment, marketing, performance techniques, and much more. It's time to hit your one-stop daily resource for voiceover success. Sign up for a free subscription to newsletters and reports. It's all here at voiceoverextra.com. That's voiceoverxtra.com.
In these modern times, every business needs a website. When you need a website for your voice acting business, there's only one place to go. Like the name says, voiceactorwebsites.com. Their experience in this niche webmaster market gives them the ability to quickly and easily get you from concept to live online in a much shorter time. When you contact voiceactorwebsites.com, their team of experts and designers really get to know you and what your needs are. They work with you to highlight what you do. Then they create an easily navigable website for your potential clients to get the big picture of who you are and how your voice is the one for them. Plus, voiceactorwebsites.com has other great resources like their practice script library and other resources to help your voiceover career flourish. Don't try it yourself. Go with the pros. Voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
So I recommend for anyone that's interested in this space and for remote collaboration, recording, if you want to get into voice acting, this has kind of become the standard for a lot of people to connect with either their agents or with the studios directly. If you're interested, I'd recommend going to sourceelements.com. So it's source-elements.com and register for a free profile. From there, you can download our software and begin the trial. Highly recommend reaching out to our support team. There are members all over the world in every time zone dedicated to help you getting you set up. They can help you get your ports mapped so that you can have the fastest way out of your internet or out through your internet connection, bypass a lot of the network infrastructure so you can have a really solid peer-to-peer connection with the person that you're trying to work with. This is Ross at VO North. Back to you guys at VOBS.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer, and you are watching VoiceOver Body Shop. It's great.
Well, we had a great time here. We didn't know what to expect. You know, you sort of came at the last minute.
I did.
I banged my head. All sorts of cool things happened. It's pretty bad. It doesn't hurt quite as much anymore.
No stitches.
No. But it was really, really fun meeting all these people, and we really appreciate Dervla, Trainer, and Tanya Buchanan for putting this together for us, and we've had a great time. But we do need to thank a lot of people besides them. I mean, aside from our guests today, we need to thank our donors like 949 Designs,
Jonathan Grant,
Casey Clack,
Christopher Epperson,
Sarah Borges,
Philip Sapir,
Thomas Pinto,
Shelly Avellino.
Shelly's here somewhere. Oh, we can thank her personally. Brian Page,
Patty Gibbons,
Rob Rader,
Greg Thomas,
Dr. Voice,
Antland Productions,
Uncle Roy, who was with us, Shauna Pentington Baird,
Martha Kahn,
Don Griffith,
Trey Mosley,
Diana Birdsall,
and Sandra Manwiller.
All right. You can join our mailing list, too, and you know, make sure that you know what's coming up next on VoiceOver Body Shop. It's on our homepage, vobs.tv. It says, you know, join our list or something like that. I'll have to take another look at it one of these days. Also, we need to thank our amazing sponsors with whom this show wouldn't be possible, like Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials,
VoiceOver Extra,
Source Elements,
VOHeroes.com,
VoiceActorWebsites.com,
JMC Demos,
and WorldVoices.org. Alrighty. And of course, well, Jeff Holman wasn't here. We didn't need anybody's questions. We had our own questions. And Sue Merlino, our director.
We gave her the weekend off.
Yeah, she finally had some time off. But we do have to thank Lee Pinney for just being Lee Pinney. Well, that's going to do it for us here in Toronto, or as they say in Toronto. This is a great business, folks. We're here to help you out with your home studios and bringing you the best people in the business to tell you what it's really all about. But when it comes to your audio, there's a lot you can do to make it work. But if it sounds good,
it is good. Don't mess with it.
Right. Don't futz with it. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS.